Welcome to another episode of Moon Monkey with Andrew and Matt. On this episode, we're going to talk about Dunkirk, directed by Christopher Nolan.
So yeah, Dunkirk, obviously this is one of the big movies of the summer, getting fantastic reviews, and I would highly recommend that you go see it. Christopher Nolan's just career is going from strength to strength, and at this point I think he's become such a big name that people are going to go see films on the strength of his name.
And also he gets to do it once.
Yeah, after like Inception, The Dark Knight trilogy, Interstellar, which some people didn't like, but undeniably like an epic film and a spectacle movie. This one was the one that I wasn't too sure, just because I'm not big into like war movies, and mainly I was going because it was Christopher Nolan, and I kind of feel like you can trust that he's not going to do something that's dull. And it wasn't. Like, it basically tells the story of Dunkirk, but one of the great things about this movie is that it does it in an unconventional way, I felt. Christopher Nolan is really a director who's interested in telling stories in a unique way, or a way that hasn't been done before, and that's exactly what he did with this movie. So yeah, a lot of directorial choices, which we're probably going to get into. So yeah, the film basically starts off with the soldiers arriving at Dunkirk Beach. For anyone who doesn't know the story of Dunkirk, they're surrounded on all sides by the Germans, and the British decide to send ships over to evacuate them. And that's essentially it. It was a huge military disaster for the British. But yeah, this was a huge disaster. So it's kind of part war movie and part disaster movie. But one of the interesting things about it that Nolan said in interviews was he wanted to make a completely subjective film. And so you never see the German perspective in this film, and you never see it cut back to, like, the war room in Britain or anywhere else. You're always either on the beach, at sea, on the boat that's going to get them, or in the air with Tom Hardy. In a Spitfire with Tom Hardy. Yeah, he is in a plane, I should say. He's not flying free.
Just on his back.
He's not just flapping his arms.
it's very unique because it's very different. Because you're expecting, like, when you go and see it, you're expecting, oh, you're going to have the Germans, you're going to feel like the Germans are coming. You know, you're going to get that perspective. Yeah. Or you're going to see, like, Churchill in a war room pushing little pieces around saying, we need to get them back from Dunkirk. Well, whatever he sounds like, probably not like that.
That's the thing, though. It was such a subjective film because you're always with them. Mm. And right at the heart of the action.
And it's good because, like you're saying, it's three different perspectives.
Yeah.
And you see it from like a civilian's point of view, and like the Admiral's point of view, and the Spitfire, and the guy on the beach, the Tommy on the beach, because he's called Tommy.
Yeah.
Which is probably
But the choice not to do it in the way that other war movies would probably do it, like there's a number of things that does to you while you're watching. One of the things is you're kind of trapped there with them. Like you're never cutting away.
Yeah.
So the tension never stops. You're always there, essentially being shot at or being shelled. So you kind of start to feel a little trapped on the beach with them. And the other thing is, by not showing the Germans, as someone else said, the Germans are just like a force of nature, just like the sea or just like anything else. Like, they're just an unstoppable force. So they're never given, like, a human face.
Yeah.
It's just a sort of dread or terror that's always lurking, like, just out of sight. You can never see them, but it's just like a lurking death that's always in the shadows or always in the background.
And we saw it in IMAX, didn't we?
Yeah.
Which made a big difference. And if you are going to see it, it's worth going to see it in that, I think, because of, like you're saying, that feeling of dread.
Yeah.
And the score as well, which is so important to this movie, which kind of pushes it along, or like keeps it turning along.
It was incredible, and like the sound, definitely, like from the first bullet that's fired, like you actually duck down because it's so loud, you think like someone's firing at you.
Every explosion, and what really got me, like I had goosebumps throughout this, and there's moments you feel like you're drowning, you feel like you're about to die, you know, like really, it's that good the way he's done it. But like when the Stuka dive bomber's coming down and there's that siren on it,
yeah,
and it's screaming down, and you're sitting there, and the guy's huddled up on the beach, like waiting to probably die, like they don't know. And even right now, I'm getting goosebumps. But like, it's just so good the way it was done, because like the sound is so, you feel like you're there.
It was sort of another,
I think it has to do with IMAX as well.
Sort of another interesting choice of the film, the way they chose to do it, was there was very little dialogue, and I said at the time there was very little plot. But what I mean by that is, Yeah, there's very little, like, conversations about what's going on too much.
Because you know what's going on.
Yeah, but it's, yeah, just kind of explosions or gunfire or, you know, people don't have conversations about, oh, can't wait to get home to the family or, like, where they've come from or where they're going to. It's all just stuck in this moment of what's happening, this also, kind of hell of the time.
I also think that's quite realistic because if you were in that situation, you wouldn't really be talking about that. You'd be feeling like, because there was no hope.
Yeah.
There was the constant feeling of there's no hope. We just have to survive no matter what.
No, that's what I mean. Yeah. It's like, it seems like Nolan's decided he's going to do it different than people have done it before. Yeah. And I think he made the right choice because it does make it more realistic. One of the things that we should talk about, which I think we both had a different opinion of, there's very little blood or gore shown in the movie, which I really liked because I thought, like, your imagination does the work for you. It makes you more... You never see... He always cuts away from, like, really violent, bloody, gory stuff.
The only bit that we didn't talk about to begin with when you were setting the scene of it was when they're in Dunkirk, the town.
Yeah.
And they're just walking about and they get the leaflets dropped on them and it's like, you're surrounded.
Hmm.
And... Then, like, there's Tommy and however many of his friends are walking through the street. And one by one, they get picked off. And this, like, really loud gunfire, like, this...
Yeah.
Thundering through the streets. And it's quite a big moment. And they're like, one goes, there one goes, there one goes. And just that moment, I think it would have been interesting because it's like, he's got to escape from this.
Yeah.
I think it would add to it. Because, I mean, the rest of it, there isn't really anything to see because it's like bombs being dropped. There wouldn't be anything left. There wouldn't be any bodies left.
Yeah.
On the beach where people are getting blown up, there's not going to be blood there.
I thought, like...
They're going to be gone. But, like, just in that moment, just in that first scene,
yeah.
That's the only thing I would put blood in.
Okay.
I'm not disagreeing with, like, the rest of the movie.
All right, I thought you were, like, some people have said, like, they would have liked it, you know, when people got hit by the mortars on the beach. Because there was no, like, blood or guts flying everywhere, which there would have been if someone had just been hit by a shell.
No, but, like the shell, there was only one scene where I think they showed that, and it was, like, it hit the guy dead on next to him, and it would have been just gone.
Oh, yeah. No, but there would have been body parts.
Yeah, but I'm not saying, like, have a leg fall on the guy's head.
Yeah, not Tarantino-esque.
No, but just, like, that one scene in the street when they're escaping the jail, that's the only bit of that.
I think the lack of blood, like, 2 points I would have about the lack of blood. One, it seemed to me like an older-style war movie. I think, like, since Spielberg's Saving Private Ryan, and maybe even Tarantino with, like, Inglourious Basterds and stuff, there's, like, it's kind of in vogue now to do really bloody, gory war movies. But, like, if you look at kind of the older one, like ones that were made in the 50s and 60s, or those kind of old war movies, they didn't really show violence too much. I thought, one, it was kind of a callback to, like, an older style war movie. And two, as other people have said, it's the difference between, like, terror and horror, or kind of tension and horror and gore, if you see what I mean.
Yeah.
Like, if you show too much blood and gore, it's like, it becomes more of a horror movie than
I'm not saying, like, I wanted blood throughout the movie or anything, or legs and body parts flying over the beach.
Right.
I just wanted a little bit.
Just some people, some people have said that, though, they thought there should have been more seeing the violence.
I just feel like that one scene at the start would have added to the tension of him trying to get away from the Germans.
Okay.
Even though you don't see the Germans left, because it's like you see his friends dying, but they just drop.
Yeah.
And I just think that would add to
it. That's the thing, it is a fairly bloodless movie, it's all about the tension and the terror of the situation.
I just think that would add to it.
Yeah.
And him wanting to escape, that's
The other thing that we kind of touched on a little bit was the score that a lot of people said so good. There's an interview with Christopher Nolan where he says... basically, the score utilises a technique where it seems as though it's always rising and there's a constant ticking clock, which you might not even... Like, I didn't particularly notice it all the way through the film, but apparently it does run all the way through the film.
Parts, yeah, but it's not like...
Yeah.
All the time.
But I think it's in the background, and because you're hearing that ticking in the background, it's you're feeling tense through the movie because you think, oh, when you hear a ticking clock, something bad's about to happen. The other thing that he did in the movie, which was interesting, which we haven't really talked about, was the way that it's put together. You have the time periods, a week for the people on the beach, one day for Mark Rylance, who plays a guy taking a boat over to Dunkirk, and then you've got Tom Hardy in a fighter squadron who are doing like an hour. And the way it works is these three time periods are like cut together. But it never gets confusing. And also that the way those time periods work is the same way that that musical tension works. So the film itself feels as though the tension's constantly building and building and building, even though it's not in a way. It's sort of tricking you into thinking it's getting worse and worse and worse, but actually you're kind of staying at the same. But yeah, it's like by the end you're kind of in pieces because it's just so, you feel like you've gone through so much.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't lick a boat when I left this movie.
Yeah, it's just a draining experience because you feel like that you have been shot at for like an hour and a half. And the film's not even particularly long. It's less. It's under 2 hours. But you just feel like you've been through so much watching it. Like, you feel like you've lived, like, all three of those experiences all the way through.
I think what also helps it from that aspect is the fact that it's the real boats and the real planes.
Yeah.
And the thousands of extras as well. It's like people are actually standing on that beach getting covered in all the water. And you know, there's people on fire. And it's all happening. You know, it's boats sinking, it's real stuff happening.
One of the things, like Nolan said, was the boat that they used, the destroyer, is actually a French boat. And he said that's not actually the type of boat they would have had at Dunkirk. It's slightly larger. But he said they could have done it in the computer on CG, but he would rather have like a real boat there that's not exactly right, but it looks correct. Or it looks real anyway, not correct. But
yeah.
And also, for the actors working on the film, like if they're actually sitting in a Spitfire or standing on a real boat, it obviously helps them get into character. And I think the guys, like Harry Styles and his Fionn Whitehead plays Tommy, like the guys who were playing the privates who were on the beach said like they felt like they were there, like smoke blowing across the sand, like explosions going off. Like, even though you're on a film set, you probably still feel a little bit like you're on...
You get into it.
Yeah. A little bit shocked. And everyone did a great job acting, especially Cillian Murphy playing a shell-shocked officer was really good. Mark Rylance.
Mark Rylance, Mr. Dawson, going to, you know, he'd already lost his son, so he's going to...
Yeah.
To rescue...
That was one of the things about the film, like, there was just enough... Some people have said, like, one complaint, I don't know how you feel about this, but one of the complaints was there wasn't much character work. Like, you didn't learn a lot about people. But I felt like you learned just, like, enough. And a lot of it's, you can see in their face.
Or just their eyes sometimes.
Yeah.
No, I don't think, like, you needed much more than there was, because you know what's going on.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know the stakes and the cost of what's going on. It's more about just, like, the people surviving.
But I think it was maybe people are used to those films where they sit down and say, where'd you come from?
But again, what like, you, it was... Like,
this wasn't about that at all.
It was, like, all in the visuals. It was, like, visually, like, you could tell just from the look. Like, they had, like, the French soldier. He never spoke.
But yeah.
There was so much said, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. Like, between the two of them. Like, a couple really good scenes in the movie... one's in the trailer, I think, like with the three guys sitting on the beach and they're just looking at a guy who just has had enough and just walks out into
runs
the water
for it,
to
swims for it.
Yeah, swim to like kill himself.
Maybe just thought he could
make it to the boat. I know you're convinced that guy was attempting to swim out to the boat.
I think he's just goose fatted himself up and went for it. I don't know.
Well, okay, if you see the movie. Let us know what you think. Was that guy trying to swim back to the UK or swim out to the destroyer? But the other scene that I was going to mention that I really liked as well, which, like you're saying, is just with the eyes, is like Tom Hardy, he's got his face covered with his mask, and you see his eyes, and he's running out of fuel, and he looks back to like a bomber flying towards the vessel, and this has that moment of thought.
Yeah.
Like he could carry on home. Yeah. Or he could turn around and try and get the bomber before it hits the boat. And it, like, just lingers on him. And you can literally see him turning it over in his head, like,
and it's so
should
good.
I go back?
And he's one of those actors that has, like, a history of just doing stuff with his eyes. Because you think about Mad Max, which, again, not a lot of dialogue.
Oh, yeah.
Very visual.
Absolutely.
I mean, I've thought about comparing it to this, but it's kind of similar. It's all about the visuals. There's not much dialogue.
It's, like, all action. Yeah.
And like, with, I know there's like the connection with Christopher Nolan and Batman, and when he was Bane he was behind that mask. Mm. Part of me thinks it's a little bit of a joke when they put the mask on him and made him mumble. Mumble, you know. But who knows? But yeah, I think he was fantastic just for what he was doing.
Because that's the thing, like a lot of filmmakers would have had him talking to somebody, or there would have been constant dialogue going on explaining what his thought process was. But you don't need to do it, you just see it all in his face, what he's thinking.
And you're also talking about like older war movies, how it was maybe a nod to that. But in older war movies, they would have had, if they'd had a guy like Tom Hardy, every time he had a line to say, he'd ripped his mask off and said it.
Oh yeah.
Whereas the minute he put it on, that was him, which was quite interesting, too, quite bold. Because he's your main
I've heard some people say they had trouble hearing some of the dialogue in this film, which I did. I think one time somebody said a line and I totally didn't catch it. But I felt like it was, they were going for realism, because sometimes stuff was shouted or mumbled and you didn't quite catch it.
And we did know you only had 15 gallons left.
Yeah. Well, we were always well aware of how much fuel Tom Hardy was still carrying. But yeah, overall, a fantastic kind of example of filmmaking.
Visual suspense.
Yeah, suspense and filmmaking, like Hitchcockian suspense. And like nods to older movies. But also, like one of the things we've talked about Christopher Nolan before is, even though he knows his film history and it's put together in a really interesting, artsy, almost art house style, it's still like an enjoyable film for just the casual film goer. You don't have to be like a film buff to enjoy it.
No, this is like a movie that you would see if you went to you went and seen a film every 2 years or something. If this is a big event, it's still a huge blockbuster, but it's still done in a really interesting way.
Yeah.
And it's like, why aren't all blockbusters done like this when it's not all spoon fed to you? Like, this is what's happening here, this is what this guy's doing. They didn't even say anything, and you could follow it.
Yeah, that was the thing, it's just fantastic editing. Like that, fantastic editing, fantastic acting, and like cinematography, just showing you exactly what you need to see. Everything's there. I loved like it was shot in 70mm, and if you see it on the big screen, there were shots where you could see stuff happening in the background, and the way the timeline works, you're always kind of guessing like, oh, where are these people, or is that the guy over there that we've just seen? And like a lot of things like that was so interesting. Because one of the things I thought going in that I was worried about the film was, Dunkirk is a fairly simple story. They're on the beach and they're trying to get off the beach. But he did so much with the situation and different perspectives and things it was never boring.
It's also quite, when I heard they were making it, it's also quite like a bold movie to make a blockbuster about like a massive military disaster.
Yeah.
As well, which I never thought, oh, they'll make a...
Well, that's the thing, the movie, like, it's that subtle heroism. There's no like real heroic last stands. In a way, there's like a couple moments that are like, I don't know what you'd say, uplifting.
Oh, the bit.
You start getting Elgar playing in the background.
Kenneth Branagh standing on the mall looking out, and the little boats arrive.
Oh, yeah.
That was an emotional moment.
Yeah.
And also no, Tom Hardy like wiping out most of the Luftwaffe.
Yeah, but they don't overplay it, you know? No. It's not like Platoon. No. They don't have stuff like going down in slow motion or someone running out into no man's land.
No, they don't do Platoon.
But like, everything's quite subtle. Yeah. And like you say, it was a disaster. It's not like their finest hour. It wasn't something that was particularly triumphant. There was heroism, but at the end of the day, it was like, this was a complete...
Yeah.
Like, a lot of people died, and it was quite tragic, really.
Yeah.
Overall, I couldn't really recommend this highly enough. Just a great movie.
I would recommend, if you do get the chance to see it, if you've not seen it already, go and see it in IMAX on the big screen, because I think like it really helps the score and the constant feeling of dread when it encompasses everything you see. And also, like,
it's definitely like a cinematic movie that you definitely need to see on big screen, even if not IMAX. Like, on a TV, you're not going to get the same experience. Like, it really needs to be seen in the huge vista.
Depends how big your TV is. You know, there's a very rich person out there. But the one bit I really liked about the score as well is it's not just like the constant feeling of dread, it's like when the planes are going round, it turned into almost buzzing, and it's like a wasp or a fly chasing each other.
I wondered, like, there was a constant tick going through the score, like there was a ticking clock, But when the boat was sinking, it started to sound like it was the propellers going like vroom, 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 vroom. And when the planes as well, like the rotors on the planes, like it tied into a lot of sounds.
Yeah, it was fantastic. Yeah. It's not like they've done the movie and then done the score. It's like it's everything.
But people have said like the score is not probably one that you would listen to by itself, but along with the movie, like it fits the visuals perfectly because the score is just like all the way through. But working with the visuals, it's like
it's not something you listen to before you go to work in the morning.
No.
But yeah, it's just really good to see like the visuals and the suspense, and it's so stripped back with the dialogue, like we said, and it's just looking at another way of storytelling, I think, as well, that people are not used to seeing it as a blockbuster, but it's like a really good way of telling the story.
Yeah, definitely.
The way they did it.
So yeah, that was our review of Dunkirk. Thanks for listening. We'll be back soon with another review. Make sure to like and subscribe.